Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. So happy to have you join us this morning. In the studio is Brother Dick Riddell, the director of the Word for Life radio ministry, and we have been talking about what God has been doing in our lives, and just to kind of give you a small picture of the faithfulness of our wonderful Lord in our lives and the lives of our parents. And we're just thrilled to be together here across the table. Brother Dick, God bless you, and share with us where you want us to go from here.
Well, I have thought about this series and wanting our listeners to have a deeper, richer understanding of who you are and what your life's journey has been that would give you credibility to share in areas that we hear from our listeners. We have so many people that come from different walks of life and experience difficulties in each of those areas, and we know that it's always good to share with people. I think the old Indian proverb, don't criticize another Indian till you've walked a mile in his moccasins, comes to mind.
And right.
I thought where I'd like to start out today is the question that I've heard sometimes, that pastors are protected species, that they never have life problems. Is that true?
In that case, I must not be a pastor.
What do you mean?
Well, if pastors don't have problems, then I must be something else, because obviously there have been numbers of problems that we have encountered, because as I said the last time, we're called to suffer. And so as each one of us as believers are called to suffer, pastors are believers, and so pastors are called to suffer as well. And I think probably the most important thing is the fact that when we suffer, it drives us to our knees and it drives us to the Word. And at that point, we begin to say, okay, God, what is it that you're wanting me to learn? Because so many times people look at their problems and their first prayer is, Lord, get me out of this. But really our prayer ought to be, what do you want me to get out of this? And as we look at that kind of a prayer, then we understand that God has a purpose for everything that we go through. And so whether it be the loss of a little baby, as the Lord allowed us to go through with our firstborn, or whether it be my wife's becoming a widow after 15 months of marriage, whatever it is, God has some things that he wants to teach us. And, of course, the devil wants us to get bitter over these situations. God wants us to get better. And so the whole clue is, who is God during this whole time? And so that basically, Brother Dick, is how I've kind of been approaching my problems as well as the problems of others that come to me. Where is God? Who is God? And what is he trying to teach us in this whole thing? It's kind of like John chapter 11, where you've got Mary and Martha who have called for Jesus to come because their brother Lazarus is sick, and he stays a couple more days. And as you look at that, you realize, obviously, the Lord has something else in mind other than going and just healing his friend from his sickness. And so when you get there, we know that he's dead, and he's been dead 4 days, and Mary and Martha are distraught. And the question is, Lord, where were you? And, of course, we usually ask the wrong question. And instead of asking, where was Jesus, the question should have been, who is Jesus? And Jesus really answered the question that they should have asked, because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He never told Mary and Martha where he was. That was not an issue that they really needed to know. They needed to know who he was. And so during that time, he showed them that he was the resurrection and the life. But through the whole process, he was saying to them, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And then during his prayer at Lazarus' grave, he said, I've come and I'm praying that those who are listening to me may believe. And so as I read that story, I realize that God is designing all of these things to teach us who he is, and he wants us to come to the point of believing that that's who he is. And so whether it be through my counseling degree that I received in 85 or later got my doctorate in church ministries, it's all designed to give me a little bit more insight into how I can be a help and a blessing to the folks that God intersects my life with. So that's kind of the way I look at life.
That's so helpful. And as you are sharing, we even talked about how we would call you and whether we would call you Dr. Huffman or Pastor. And personally, and so many of our fellowship regard you as Pastor Huffman.
Sure.
And your ministry has been one of pastoring and caring.
Right, right.
And we want to extend that to our audience that's out there. I'd like to move for a minute, if we could, to the name of our ministry and the name of our broadcast, The Word for Life, Proclaiming God's Truths, One Verse at a Time. What do you see behind the meaning of these words?
I think it is very descriptive that it is the word for your life. It's not just the word for life, but as each one of you listened to us in the morning, I trust that it will be the word for my life. Lord, what is it that you are wanting to say from your word for my life? And once we take that approach, then we begin to understand that God's word has the answer. And to me, that's the vision of the word for life, you know, that God has the answer, and so there's hope. And whatever I'm facing, there's hope. And I'll never forget having an evangelist begin to pray with us one night before our first meeting, and he paused before he said anything, and he said, "Dear Lord, now we know that when it comes to accomplishing anything for God, we can't, but you can." And I thought, Lord, that is so true. When it comes to accomplishing anything for God, we don't have the ability, because Jesus said himself in John 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. And it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you, as the songwriter wrote many, many years ago. So it's my vision for the Word for Life that whatever anyone is facing, that they will get hope, that they will just reach the point of realizing God's Word has the answer. It's kind of like the biblical principles, I think, behind the ministry. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I like the way it personalizes it. We could be real preachy and say the Word of God is a lamp unto feet and light unto paths, but it's my feet. And it's when I personalize God's Word that it becomes real to me, and then I just kind of share with others from the overflow.
Do you believe that there are any biblical mandates for this ministry?
I think 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23 to 24, kind of give us a mandate that God wants us to follow. And it comes from the prophet Samuel as he was considering what his ministry should be as a prophet. And so he said, "As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." So to me, the mandate for this radio ministry is to teach the right way. And as Samuel said, that I might teach you the good and the right way. And that's what we need to be emphasizing. What does God's word say? And how does it become good in my life? And then the next verse, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart." And so to me, that's what God has designed this ministry for. It's kind of like Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so as we look at the path of life in all of our broadcasts, as we have the opportunity to talk to others about their path and their journey, we'll be able to see the path of life and the fullness of joy in God's presence.
As I was listening to you outline that, I'm struck with one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a priority issue, isn't it?
Exactly, right. Seek ye first, right.
Some time ago I heard that explained of we've got to get the vertical right, our relationship with our Father through Jesus, and then the horizontal of the cross.
Oh, how true.
Comes into line, those things for it. But sometimes even I change and try to get things in order and then ask God to bless it afterwards.
And the Lord says, excuse me?
Right. He sure does. He sure does. Pastor, how do you plan to unfold some of these biblical principles as we go forward?
It's my goal that what our listeners learn from the Word of God, they will begin to spread. And it reminded me of Mark chapter 5 when Jesus cured the maniac of Gadara and cast out all the demons and everything else. Of course, I'm not saying that everybody listening to us has demons, but I'm simply saying that when he was transformed, it says that he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And so we see peace and perspective and purity in those three words. And that, of course, is what God wants the Word of God to accomplish in my life. And so then when this man was totally changed, he said to Jesus, can I go with you? And Jesus said, no. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So I think to unfold these biblical principles means that we are then to go to our homes. We are to go to our families. We're to go to our workplaces. We're to go to our contacts and tell them what great things God has done for us.
That's great. Do you believe that God's word is sufficient for all things?
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that everything that pertains to life and godliness can be found in the written word of God. And so if a person is not suffering from a physical problem that is verifiable by tests and that kind of a thing, if it's not a physical problem, then it's a spiritual problem. And God's word has the answer. And what a joy it is for me to have been involved in ministry for over 40 years and to be able to maybe tell stories of other people who have been able to see God took a hopeless case and I have been 5 years in victory. What a joy it is to be able to have those kinds of stories to be able to share with others. And that's what we plan to do in the days to come. Well, we've come to the end of our time for today, and thank you so much. We trust that today will be a fantastic day for you as you continue to focus on the Word of God and walk in the way of God and be the people of God that bring a glory to His name. So until next time, we trust you'll have a fantastic day. God bless you.